Well, it's always good to start the year off right, worshiping the Lord together as a church. And as we've done for the last several years, I'd like to share what will be our special focus for the year to come. We, in our adult Sunday school class, we looked at learning about the past and the importance of history. And so we're going to think a little bit for the next few minutes about where we have been last year as a church, looking through the Word of God. Last year, our primary focus was on one of the great doctrines and attributes of God, which is His immutability, which simply means God never changes. God is immutable. And even though last year brought a lot of different kinds of changes, and even challenges in our lives as individuals, as families, even as a church, we lost some loved ones here this last year. Yet God Himself has not changed throughout them all. Sometimes we wonder, where is God? What is God doing through all of this? God hasn't changed. He hasn't changed in His person, nor has He changed in His purpose. Just as the Lord Himself put it in Malachi chapter 3, verse 6, which was sort of our theme verse at the beginning of last year, where the Lord says, I am the Lord, I change not. He's immutable. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. So our very redemption, our very life as a believer and as a child of God is really based on His changelessness, His immutable nature. And so, if you recall, to remind us of this truth last year, on Sunday mornings, our primary focus was on the immutable and unchanging gospel of God's grace. And throughout most of the year, we explored the book of Galatians, which really focuses our attention on the unchanging gospel. One of the reasons why Paul even wrote the book of Galatians was because there was another gospel that was being presented and preached to them. And so he said, no, we need to get back to the unchanging gospel of God's grace. And I pray that our exploration of that book has increased our faith and love for the true gospel, and really especially the one who that gospel is all about, the Lord Jesus Christ, who remains, according to Hebrews 13:8, the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's immutable, unchangeable. On Sunday evenings, for the first part of last year, our primary focus was on the doctrine of God's immutability. Just as the Puritan Thomas Watson once described it, there are changes in everything. We've all experienced those things, haven't we, this year? There are changes in everything, but God never changes. It's the unchanging nature of God that we need to set our sights on. I forgot to bring it up here this morning, but remember the sextant that we took as an object lesson. What were those sextants for? Well, if you were on a ship many years ago, and even today there are still sextants on some of those ships, a sailor would use a sextant in order to stay on their proper course. And the way they would use that is they would shoot the star that from their perspective was stationary. It didn't move. It was unchanging. And then they could plot their course and they could know exactly where they're at any given time. I pray that we have also grown in our pursuit of the unchanging God. Because the more we set our sights on Him, the more we'll understand about our own life and purpose. That's why, according to Hebrews 12:2, we need to keep looking unto, setting our sights on Jesus as the author and finisher of our faith. Well, for this new year, we're going to begin with our focus on hope. Biblical and Christian hope. This is not the kind of hope that the world wishes for and tries to offer, but the kind of hope that we will find in the Word of God and offer to all those who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the kind of hope that we find possessed by Jeremiah the prophet. He was known as the weeping prophet. In fact, why don't we turn to the book that he wrote with the title Lamentations, again, known as the Lamenting or the Weeping Prophet, in Lamentations chapter 3. I'd like us to start there. Jeremiah faced a lot of discouragement in his life. He experienced a lot of distress because the world in which he lived, even though the people that he was serving and ministering to as prophet were known as the people of God, yet he lived in a world and society where God's people had forgotten God. They'd forgotten him. And so we find a record of Jeremiah's own distress in Lamentations chapter 3, and I'd like to read the first 20 verses. And I want you to think, has there been a time in your life, maybe even the last month or the last year, where you felt much like what Jeremiah felt here in these first 20 verses. He writes, "I am the man that hath seen affliction by the rod of his wrath. He hath led me and brought me into darkness, but not into light. Surely against me is he, God, turned. He turneth his hand against me all the day. My flesh and my skin hath he made old. He hath broken my bones. He hath builded against me, encompassed me with gall and travail. He hath set me in dark places, as they that be dead of old. He hath hedged me about, that I cannot get out. He hath made my chain heavy. Also when I cry and shout, he shutteth out my prayer. He hath enclosed my ways with hewn stone. He hath made my paths crooked. He was unto me as a bear lying in wait, and as a lion in secret places. He hath turned aside my ways and pulled me in pieces. He hath made me desolate. He hath bent his bow and set me as a mark for the arrow. He hath caused the arrows of his quiver to enter into my reins. I was a derision to all my people and their song all the day. He hath filled me with bitterness. He hath made me drunken with wormwood. He hath also broken my teeth with gravel stones. He hath covered me with ashes. And thou hast removed my soul far off from peace. I forgot prosperity. And I said, my strength and my hope is perished from the Lord. Remembering mine affliction and my misery, the wormwood and the gall, my soul hath them still in remembrance and is humbled in me." What we learn from these verses is that even the people of God, even the children of God, face distress and discouragement in this life, even to the point where you wonder, where is God in all of this? We want to live a life where we experience pleasure and peace and prosperity and everything is happy-go-lucky. And yet we know that that is not the experience of every person and not the experience of every true child of God. Have you ever felt this way? Perhaps you're feeling this way even today. A new year, which from the world's perspective often brings some kind of hope, and yet maybe we're not looking forward to this new year. Maybe we feel the way Jeremiah felt back in these verses. Sometimes even wondering if it's going to bring anything positive. But that's why we must not stop with Jeremiah's lament there in verse 20. Because what we find in the Lord is that there really is hope. Because then in verse 21, listen to what Jeremiah says. He says, "This I recall to mind." He was thinking about things that he should have forgotten, kind of like what we learned in our Sunday school. And now finally he's remembering some things that he had forgotten. "This I recall to my mind," even after 20 verses of lament and sorrow and discouragement, "This I recall to my mind, therefore have I" what? Hope. Hope. Where does he find his hope? Verse 22, "It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is his faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in him. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord." In these six verses, we find the word hope three times. And in each of those three times, the basis of Jeremiah's hope is in the Lord himself. So this morning, I'd like for us to consider together, what is hope? What is this hope that we find in the Bible? What is this hope that was like a spiritual ointment that brought encouragement to such a discouraged soul like Jeremiah? This hope that is the possession of every true child of God and every true believer in Jesus Christ. What is hope? And where can hope be found? Well, first, to answer these questions, we're going to look at the need for hope. There's a great need for hope in this world and even in our lives. A great need. Because hopelessness is seen everywhere in this world. You can go far away and find hopelessness. Where food is scarce and the future is bleak. Think about the situation of those civilians who were in the Syrian city of Aleppo here recently. Many of them were caught in the middle of a conflict, not on either side. They were neither part of the government nor the rebels. And yet they were brutalized by both sides and there was no way out. Hopelessness. You could watch videos of some of those civilians in utter hopelessness, wondering where they would get their next meal, wondering if they would even make it to their next meal. Hopelessness. But you don't have to go very far to see that, do you? You can just stay close to home, where people are still struggling. There's struggle with finances, where even today, if you go to the store and you realize you have more on your list than you have funds to buy those things. People are struggling with their families. Divorce rates are higher. We see people struggling with their future, wondering what is going to happen. Hopelessness is common. You don't have to go very far. You can stay right around here. I remember when Andrew and I went downtown to deliver those food items to the Good News Rescue Mission, and we saw hopelessness there on the streets. Now, some of the men that were there helping us get the food in, they had hope. They were in a place where they knew they were cared for, they could eat, they could sleep, they could stay warm, and they were also there learning about the Lord Jesus Christ, but it wasn't very far from that location that you saw hopelessness. We saw it on their faces. And so people look to many different things to offer them some glimmer of hope. People like to find avenues to escape the hopeless world in which they live. Some people turn to sports teams, football season. Is something that people always look forward to every year. I'm included in that. Unfortunately, there's not a whole lot of hope for my team or for your team at this point. Maybe that's a bad example of hope. But think about politics. Think about the hope that people were putting in politics. If only this one candidate, my candidate, gets elected, then there will be hope for the future. And then we found out what took place on election day, and there were some that were thrilled and others that were devastated. And you know that would have been the exact same if the tables were turned and someone else was elected and the other person defeated. Hopelessness is still something that we all face. Some people look for hope in just a change of circumstances. If I just move to another location, or if I just get another kind of job, or maybe if I had this other circumstance in my life completely changed. But we all need to realize that that hope is not something that lasts. It's temporary. And that's why there's a great need for lasting hope. Because there are those who are absolutely lacking hope in this world. Without hope. We know that the Bible clearly teaches that anyone who is not a part of the family of God has no true hope. We know this from Ephesians 2:12. You don't need to turn there, but Paul writes that at that time, and he's talking to all of us, he's talking to believers, he says, at that time when you were without Christ. So he's looking back in your life and in my life to the time where we didn't know Jesus as our Savior. At that time you were without Christ, you were aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, you were strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in this world. There are many who are lacking hope because they have no Christ in their life. And I don't know about you, but as the clock was ticking to the end of the new year last night, and I was sitting on my couch and watching some of it, and I was turning from channel to try to avoid some of the music that was going on, and yet some of the interviews were with some of the partiers that were going on, and clearly the ones that they were asking questions were absolutely drunk, stoned. And the hope that they were experiencing was just something that, a pleasure that would just be fleeting. How many of those are going to even remember this morning what took place last night? The people that are looking for hope and pleasure in the things of this world are without God in this world. They have no real hope. Nothing that will last, nothing that is true. They need a real and lasting hope. But it's not just those who are without Christ. There are also those who have lost hope. Those who once had the light of hope shine brightly in their life, and now that light and hope has faded into the darkness all around. And I think this is where we find Jeremiah. Jeremiah was at a point in his life where he was devastated. He was experiencing darkness, and he was starting to lose the hope that had been given him through God. kind of like the whole house of Israel in Ezekiel 37:11, which says, their bones were dried and their hope was lost. Maybe you felt that way. You were discouraged, you were distressed, you've lost someone close to you, and you say, where is God? Where is this hope that was promised me? I need a real and lasting hope. Perhaps your hope was in somebody or something else. There are even those who have a very limited hope. A hope that may last for just a little while, but not as long as you need it. It's a false hope. Paul recognized the importance of an eternal hope for Christians when he said in 1 Corinthians 15:19, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. You see, we need a hope that we can hang on to. And as Christians, we have a hope that we can hang on to. If we just remember it and we keep our minds and hearts and focus upon it, we need a real and lasting hope. So which one are you like today? Are you lacking hope? Have you lost hope? Do you have a limited hope? There's a great need for true hope for all of us, but then we need to understand, number two, the meaning of real hope. You see, the hope that we all need is drastically different than the hope that we are often offered by this world, aren't we? It's different. So what is the meaning of hope? Well, first of all, let's consider our own use of hope. Our use of hope involves desire. Hope always involves desire, something that you want. Maybe you want to get a new car, or you want to have this goal met in your workplace or in your family. You have a desire for something, but when we use the word hope, it involves desire and uncertainty. You don't really know if you're going to achieve that goal or that aim or that purpose. When I was working at the bank and the investment houses, we would always have the end of year where we were finishing up the goals from the year past, and now we're starting to make plans for the future. And the goals were always huge. They were always so high. And then, of course, we've talked to our managers, and we try to get them down to something a little bit more manageable. But there was always this hope, and yet it was a desire. The ones that were in the upper echelon of management would say, oh, we want to have these huge goals. Their hope was unrealistic. It was a desire, but it was uncertain. And many times when we use the word hope, it means little more to us than a wish. Oh, I wish this would happen. Something and wanting and hoping for something better that may or may not even happen. That's the kind of hope that people talk about when it comes to a new year. I hope that this happens. I hope my life improves. I hope that these people don't die on us. It's a hoping for a better time and for better things. One writer defines this kind of hope, and it's there on your message guide, in this way. Hope, the way we use it, means to wish for something, to expect, but without certainty of the fulfillment, to desire very much, but with no real assurance of getting your desire. That's the kind of hope this world has. That's the only kind of hope this world can offer with no guarantee, and this is the only kind of hope that the world has to look forward to. But that is altogether different than God's use of hope. When we come to the Bible, we see the word hope, it's different than the way the world uses it. God's use of hope still involves desire, but now it involves desire and certainty. Certainty. This is the big difference between the world's hope of wishful thinking and God's hope, which is the kind of hope that we find in the Bible. In fact, the words used in the Bible, and there are many in the Old Testament, and really only one root word in the New Testament, the words used in the Bible that are frequently translated hope in our English Bibles, both in the Old Testament and in the New, refer to something that is expected. It's not a wish. It's an expectation. That same writer defines this biblical kind of hope in this way. He says, hope, in the Bible, hope is an indication of certainty. There's other translations that are used, like trust, where it's not something that's a wish, it's guaranteed. It's a strong and confident expectation. And you see this all throughout the Bible. I've looked at every single word of hope in the Old Testament and the New Testament, and there is this picture of something that is assured to a believer, assured to a child of God. And so when we go back to Lamentations chapter 3, verse 21, after his lament of his circumstances and the pressures that he faced as a prophet of God, what does he say? When the prophet Jeremiah writes, "This I recall to my mind, and therefore I have hope," he's not talking about a wish. He's not talking about something that God might give to him. Instead, he's talking about a hope and an assurance. In what? The mercy of God, the compassion of God, the faithfulness of God. All of these things were guaranteed to him. Why? Because of who God is and because of his relationship to that God. Isn't that a wonderful truth? God's use of hope in the Bible shows to us that yes, we can have a desire, but it's a sure thing if you're a child of God. Because of God's compassion, His mercy, His faithfulness to His promise, He offers His hope to you and to me. So the question is, do you have this kind of hope in your life? Even Christians can struggle with this hope. Even the prophet Jeremiah struggled with this kind of hope. But if we are children of God this morning through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, then we do have this hope. It's not subjective. It's an objective hope that we can trust in. You see, it's not based on potential like the world's hope, but it's based on promises. The promises of Almighty God. This kind of hope is your hope. It's because, number three, the source of hope. The source of hope. King David experienced the same kind of discouragement and despair in his life at times as well. And we have evidence of that in the historical books, but also in the book of Psalms. So let's head back with me to Psalm 42. He captured his feelings of discouragement in many places, but he also describes the solution that he found in several of his psalms. And one of those psalms is Psalm 42. And I'd like to read the first five verses where, again, we get a picture of his lament. We get a feel for his discouragement and distress. Psalm 42, beginning verse 1, he says, "As the deer, as the hart, pants after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. Because my soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, Where is thy God? When I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me. For I had gone with a multitude. I went with them to the house of God, with a voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept holy day. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted me? Hope thou in God," he says. "Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance." And then later on in verse 11 of the same psalm, he repeats both the object and the source of his hope. Again, he says, "Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him who is the health of my countenance and my God." What we find in this psalm and many others, what we find from Jeremiah as well, is that the source of true hope is the one true God. He is the sole source of the hope that we need. And the truth is, we will only experience personal hope from the person of hope when our focus is on Him. Like Jeremiah, like David. So when it seems that all hope is lost, what do we need to do? We need to keep thinking on the Lord. Keep thinking on Him. What did David do? What did Jeremiah do? When they were faced with all of this darkness around them, they started reminding them the truth of this object of hope that God offered them. The hope that comes from Him. We need to keep thinking on Him. Remember the words of Jeremiah in Lamentations 3:21. He said, "This I recall to my mind." What's he doing? He's reminding himself of these things. You know what we need to do as Christians in our own lives? Is when we find darkness and despair and discouragement, what must we do? We must start recalling to our mind God. And His nature and His attributes and His love, His compassion, His faithfulness and His hope. But what else do we need to do as Christians? When we find one of our family members struggling in the same way that Jeremiah was or David was, we need to remind each other of God and His hope. We need to remind each other of His compassion, His love, His faithfulness, His mercy, and all of these good things. Why? Because this is the ground of our hope. We need to keep thinking on the Lord. Just like the hymn, I think of my blessed Redeemer. I think of Him all the day long. Now sometimes, as we think of Him, we still are discouraged. Why? Because we understand our own nature. We understand our own sin. We understand our own failures. But we still forget about God's mercy and grace and forgiveness and long-suffering and all these other attributes that He offers as hope to us. So when you trust in the Lord and when you think about the Lord, you will find your hope because He is the source of hope. What else do we need to do? We need to think on Him. We need to keep trusting in the Lord. As I mentioned before, in many ways, hope and trust are synonymous in the Bible. In fact, sometimes the Hebrew word and the Greek word for hope is translated trust. And so we need to understand that hope and trust are really two sides of the same coin. We see this in Psalm 71. Since you're already there in Psalms, go over just back a few pages to Psalm 71, verse 5. Where again we have in beautiful Hebrew poetry, where we find parallelism, which is one of the features of Hebrew poetry, using two words for really the same concept. Psalm 71, verse 5, we read this. Again, the source of our hope is God. He says, "For Thou art my hope, O Lord God. Thou art my," what? "Trust from my youth." Hope and trust, synonymous terms. And the source and the object of this hope and trust is who? The Lord God. You see, when you trust in the Lord, you will find your hope in the Lord. And as you find your hope in the Lord, you will recognize that He is the only source of the kind of hope that we need, the kind of lasting hope that we need. But we also need to keep turning to the Lord. Back in Lamentations 3:26, Jeremiah says, "It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord." You see, just because there's darkness or distress or discouragement around you, it's not going to be that way forever if you know Christ as your Savior, because the hope is before you. You can hope and wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord because the Lord is the only source for the hope and assurance that we need. So what are we going to do this year to help us grow in our hope? Our hope both in the Lord and our hope from the Lord. We're going to focus our attention on the hope that God offers through His Word. Beginning next Sunday morning, we're going to begin a series of messages through the Old Testament book of Esther. Say, Esther? As a book of hope? Well, Esther is such a unique book because nowhere in the book is the name of God even mentioned. You think, well, if God is the source of hope, then why are we looking at Esther as an example of hope? Well, it's because we have the people of God in a foreign country, living in a foreign culture, and it seems like God is completely out of the picture, along with any hope. In many ways, it's a parallel to our own time and place. As I was watching those different channels last night, there was not a single mention of God. Not a single mention of real hope. There's a lot of mention about what they wished would happen that next year. A lot of talking and speculating about things. A lot of recalling back to some of the different things and YouTube videos that were prominent last year. But there was no description of God. And so when we look around in the world, we feel like Esther. We feel like Mordecai. And we feel like some of those others there in that book. And we wonder, where is God? His name's not to be mentioned in any of the culture. Well, you see, every Christian, no matter where or when we live, are, according to Hebrews 11:13, living as strangers and pilgrims on this earth. That's the way Esther was. And sometimes it even feels that God is completely absent, as well as any hope. But what we're going to find in the book of Esther, and even in our own lives, is like Paul puts it in Romans 15:4. He says, whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we, through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. And that applies to the book of Esther, too. Even though God is not mentioned anywhere in that book, yet, when God's presence seems absent, God is still there. His fingerprints are all over the book. And so is His hope. And so my prayer is, as we go through the book of Esther, that we will understand that hope is still present, even when it seems like God is not. Because He is still there. On Sunday nights, we're going to explore more closely the hope that God offers to His people through Jesus Christ. Just like we read in Titus 2:13, where Paul says that we are looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ. And so my prayer for this year is that through His Word, God will build up our confident hope in Him and in the Lord Jesus Christ more and more as we await the arrival of our blessed hope. Now, what is the importance of hope in our life? What will this biblical kind of hope do for you? Well, when you are weary, His hope will give you rest. Psalm 16:9 says, therefore my heart is glad, and my glory rejoiceth. My flesh also shall rest in hope. When you're weary, His hope will give you rest. When you're weak this year, His hope will give you strength. Psalm 31:24, be of good courage, and He shall strengthen your heart, all ye that hope in the Lord. When you're weak, His hope will give you strength. Or when you're worried about something this year, His hope will give you peace. Psalm 42:5 says, why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why are you disquieted within me? Hope thou in God. That's the answer. So when you're worried about something, His hope will give you peace. Perhaps when you're weeping this year, we wept last year as individuals, as families, and as a church. His hope will give you joy. Psalm 146:5, happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God. So when you're weeping, His hope will give you joy. And when we trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, He alone can give us that kind of hope. Not the kind of hope that the world offers, but the biblical kind of hope that involves desire and certainty, because it's not about the potential of the future. It's about God and His promises for the future. Let's close in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, I thank You for the hope that we find in Your Word, the hope that we find in the Lord Jesus Christ, and the hope that we so desperately need. Oh, Father, I know that we live in a world that struggles in hopelessness. We can go far, far away into this world and see utter hopelessness in people's faces and the hearts and lives of children and adults alike, where there's famine, where there is war, where there are terrorism. There is just so much out there that causes people to give up, give in. But we don't have to go there. We can stay around here. We can go to our big cities. We can go even to our own neighborhoods, even go into our own homes. We recognize that if our hope is built on something less than Jesus' blood and righteousness, that that really is no hope at all. And so, Father, I pray that You'll help us to understand that the hope that You offer is a certain hope. It's a guaranteed hope. It's a hope that You have provided to all who believe in You and all who are Your children. And so, Lord, I pray that not just through this message, but throughout this whole year, that You will deepen our faith and trust in You and in the hope that You offer. And in the face of the discouragement and the darkness of this world, that You will lighten us from the inside out with the hope that You are and the hope that You offer. Help us, Lord, to remember that the only source of the hope that we need is You. And that, Lord, You gave us the blessed hope, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, Father, as we await His appearing, I pray that our hope this year will grow in ways that we've never experienced before. That, Father, it will be a hope that we can offer to others because they have the same need of it as we do. And so, Father, we pray that You'll deepen our hope, We thank you again, Lord, that the Scriptures do not describe a hope that is just a wish or a want, but it's a guarantee for all who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as their Lord and personal Savior from sin. We pray, O Lord, your blessing and your hope for this new year. For it's in Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen.